T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Taking a dive in on the second-round pick, Jared Jones, Nick Garcia as well, both coming from California schools. We'll get to that here in a moment. But first, if you could, and thanks for joining me, give me sort of the 60,000-foot view on the job that Steve Sanders, Joe Delacari, and Ben Cherington as a whole did for the Pirates on the 2020 draft.
Yeah, so obviously you can't really evaluate a baseball draft class until 4, 5, 6 years down the road because it's just such a long development path. But first reaction, gut instinct, is they actually did a pretty good job from my vantage point. You get a premium hitter like Nick Gonzalez and then 3 really good arms following him with Milchinski, Jones, and Garcia. There's a lot to like about what the Pirates did. Again, there's a long way to go. A lot of things can go sideways. You can never really fully evaluate a draft in baseball until, like I said, at least 3, 4, 5 years down the road. But again, just first impressions, it raised my eyebrows a little bit. I thought they did a very nice job.
So you tweeted out on June 11th that integral to this draft was the son of Jim Tracy. Brian Tracy, for a number of years, he's been a scout in the Pirates organization, and he's covered the West Coast. He was a former Pirates farmhand for a year or two. And you mentioned that he was responsible for both Jared Jones and Nick Garcia. Discuss his role, I guess, in the Pirates draft this year.
Yeah, you know, he's been on Jared Jones. Jared Jones has been very well known for quite some time, but Tracy's known Jones since he was in the eighth grade. Really knows the kid beyond just what he can do on the baseball field. And then Nick Garcia really shot up at Division III Chapman over the last year or so, and Tracy was right on it. You know, Brian Tracy has established himself as one of the best scouts in the Pirates organization. He was a signing scout for Calvin Mitchell a couple years ago. He brought in Josiah Dixon, who was kind of a late-round steal last year. He does a really, really good job out here in mostly the Orange County and San Diego County portions of Southern California. And, you know, good teams have good scouts, and he's certainly showing himself to be one.
Yeah, no doubt. We're talking to Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, recapping the Pirates draft. So Nick Garcia is a really interesting one. You had an opportunity to chat with him last month in an in-depth podcast, which if you follow Kyle on Twitter, Kyle A. Glazer, G-L-A-S-E-R, you'll be able to scroll down on the timeline and find the link to the interview if you want to listen to it. So, Division III guy, highest drafted player, I guess, from a Division III school in over 13 years, Jordan Zimmermann. That was a pretty good one back in 2007. So why do you think the Pirates were so comfortable in going to Chapman University in a D3 school to pick somebody with this high round of a pick in a year where, you know, the draft picks are certainly going to be few and far between and so coveted with the 5 rounds?
Because his stuff is so jaw-dropping. I talked to a lot of scouts, a lot of people in baseball that said if this guy had UCLA or Vanderbilt across his chest and was the exact same pitcher, he would have gone in the first round. The reason he's at Division III Chapman is because he was actually a third baseman when he went into college. You know, again, a Division III level third baseman. He played there his freshman year, and his coaches said, you know, let's try out on the mound. Got on the mound, threw 90 miles an hour in his first fall ball. 6 months later, was already up to 98 and was the Division III World Series most outstanding player as a closer, pumping 97, 98. And they moved him to the rotation this spring, and he was holding 94, touching 97 with a nasty slider, a nasty cutter. He's just kind of new to pitching, and that's why he was able to fall through the cracks and ended up at a Division III school. But the talent, the arm strength, the athleticism, the build, again, he would look very well in place if he was at UCLA or Vanderbilt. And so the only reason he really felt as far as he did is simply because he was pitching at D3. The competition's not as good. You can theorize how the stuff is going to play against better hitters, but you never really know. That uncertainty is the only reason he even fell as far as he did. On stuff alone, this is a first-round talent.
Okay, and that was going to be my next question. I mean, can you not get fooled? And we often hear executives, even like in spring training ball, you know, you don't want to take too much, you know, into account when you're facing double-A and triple-A guys in a spring game in March. I would like to think to some extent that that theory would apply here.
There's no question. Again, we can theorize how the stuff will play against better hitters, but you never really know until you face them. And that's why he fell where he did. But if you look at who else was around in the third round when the Pirates took Garcia, yeah, you absolutely take that guy every day of the week.
Kyle Glazer, Baseball America, our guest on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, recapping the Pirates draft in Jones and in Garcia. And you had an opportunity, if I'm not mistaken, I just said it actually, that you did an in-depth podcast with Garcia. What did you learn in that podcast about him? You gave us a few bullet points, but if you could, maybe take us a little further into that interview.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is he's just really, really adaptable. He's a very smart kid, and so much of baseball is mental, especially on the pitching side. If you just go up there and throw the ball as hard as you can, you're not going to be successful. You have to be cerebral. You have to understand the finer points of the game. And he does that, and I think that's another point in his favor. So not only is he incredibly talented, he's worked his tail off, he's adapted to a new role very, very quickly, and he's a smart kid. All those are reasons why you can feel high on him. Again, you're still talking about a pitcher, and pitchers are always, always risky. There's no means of guarantee here or anything, but you start checking the boxes of great stuff, smart kid, adapts quickly, all things that are important and all things a lot of teams liked.
In a vacuum, what do you make of the Pirates taking four right-handed pitchers of the five selections that they had in the draft, Kyle?
Yeah, so I was on the post-draft Zoom conference call with Ben Sherrington and Joe Delacari, and they said it wasn't intentional drafting all those pitchers. It just kind of played out that way when it came time to make their pick. Those were the players they felt were the best available. But I do think it works well with what the Pirates organization needed long-term. We at Baseball America, in our annual prospect handbook, kind of map out what the rotation and what the lineup for every team will look like in 3 or 4 years. And I remember we were filling out the Pirates rotation this last handbook, and it was tough to kind of fill out the rotation just because there's a lot of guys with injury issues. You start getting into guys like Cody Bolton and Tanaj Thomas who, you know, they're just really young and they're not, you know, top-tier pitching prospects. Well, you bring in Brendan Malone in the trade for Starling Marte, and now you add Muljinski, you add Jones, you add Garcia, you add all these arms. All of a sudden, the Pirates' organizational pitching outlook looks a lot brighter than it did even 6, 7 months ago.
How far off would you suspect it being? I mean, you can fast-track guys quicker than ever before, Kyle. Are all of these guys young, raw, they're going to take some time to marinate? Or do you believe just the raw stuff, raw power, could put them in an HOV lane?
Always take the under on pitchers. So many things go sideways. Pitchers tend to take longer. Even when they get to the majors, they tend to take longer to kind of find their rhythm, find their stride. It's going to be a while. Again, the Pirates, we saw them kind of, you know, veer into a rebuild here a little bit. They actually have some really good position player talent, as you know. And you look at Brian Reynolds, you look at Kevin Newman, you look at Josh Bell. There are some pieces to work with. And a lot of their arms, you know, it's just about staying healthy and consistent. We've seen flashes from Trevor Williams and Joe Musgrove. So I think there's enough pieces right now for them to, you know, be respectable and not as terrible as maybe they were last year when things completely went haywire. But in terms of this next wave, it's going to be a couple years because, again, a lot of young arms and pitchers just take time.
What about Nick Gonzalez as far as his track? I mean, is he mature? Is he advanced at this stage as it pertains to college guys, first-round draft picks?
He is. He's someone that a lot of people think has a chance to move fairly quickly. You look at the White Sox Nick Madrigal, who's similar, smaller second base type who could really hit. He got the AAA in his first full year and was primed to make his debut this year until everything kind of got set down. It's very possible Nick Gonzalez follows a similar track if he had, if, you know, assuming, you know, regular length full season. He's a really, really advanced hitter. And there's a lot of good potential outcomes. Just talking to scouts, you know, one player Pirates fans will appreciate, you know, a couple scouts said they thought worst case scenario, this guy's Freddy Sanchez. And, you know, that's a three-time All-Star and a batting champion. And, you know, maybe a couple steps up, he ends up maybe being like a Whit Merrifield type or possibly even be a little better than that. I mean, this is a really good hitter who should be the Pirates' second baseman of the future for many, many years to come.
Kyle, I appreciate your insight and the work that you've done on the Pirates draft. We'll catch up with you down the road.
Sounds good. Happy to join you anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.